numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. You know, I rifle through where people take us in at the top of every hour. And I mentioned Game Plus, and I just roll through it. Mm-hmm. We just had a gentleman, Frank, from Squamish, which is an hour north of Vancouver in British Columbia, who watches us on Game Plus every day, says he records us when he can. And he was just in here saying hello to us.
I'm flying back with him. Looks gorgeous up there.
It looks gorgeous.
It's too hot.
Here's the thing. I knew Game Plus, like, in Ontario and down Toronto into New York. I knew folks were watching us there. But he's saying, no, it's national, and he's watching in British Columbia, for goodness sake. So,
shout out to Canada.
Are some of our best listeners, if not our best?
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No disrespect to anybody else. We have drama here in this semifinal. Donna Vekic staved off a match point. Jasmine Paolini had a match point, but it was on Vekic's racket. And here at 5-5 in the decider, Vekic openly weeping on the court. I don't know if it's an injury or an illness or what, because we're doing a show, so I haven't been able to necessarily know what's going on. But she is like, she was wiping tears away, and now we have a deuce situation on Paolini's racket. So this is going down to the wire to get to the Wimbledon final. But I don't know what's going on with Vekic there.
Yeah, I'm trying to search Twitter, but
Twitter,
not seeing much.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what this means. It's that time of the week. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger.
Good morning, guys.
What's happening?
You know, it's funny because I don't know tennis that good. I know someone else that's openly weeping. So can you bet that's the, what's her name, Paolini?
Paolini. Oh. He spelled it wrong. Yeah.
Paolini. That's the person playing now, right?
It's Paolini. But
Paolini.
Yes,
Paolini.
Or Paolini.
Paolini. It's
Paolini.
Paolini. No, that works. Paolini.
Okay.
Yeah.
To win Wimbledon for me for $300 at 60-1 at Circa. And, of course, I was out of town, so I couldn't get it in. And I said, well, I found 40-1. I'm back east. He said, nah, skip it.
Wow.
Oh, man.
At 60-1 at Circa.
Let me tell you, that's a hell of a bet. Yeah. Jasmine Paolini got to the finals of the French Open, and here she is trying to get to her second straight slam final, and Donna Vekic giving her all she can handle right now, but Paolini's got a...
Who is that person right there?
That's Paolini.
Oh, yeah.
She's the Italian.
She's definitely going to win. No, because this guy... can't, you know, he, that's something that happens to him all the time.
Oh, because you didn't get the bet in. Of course he's going to win.
Definitely.
Well, this is not the championship. Feelings. This is the semi.
Oh, this is the semi.
Yeah.
But she is much less than 60-1 now.
Yes, she is. That is correct. Your math is correct.
So last week when I got off air and didn't tell you, not that I didn't want it, I just wasn't thinking. I ran right to the airport because
you did. You sprinted out of here.
Yeah.
He sprints out of here, and then like I get a text a few hours later. He goes, "Yeah, I'm in.
Where's that?
Where are you? Charleston."
Oh, I was in Charleston, South Carolina, for a night.
Beautiful city.
Very nice there.
America's hidden gem.
Yep. It is.
Yeah.
So I was there for one night. I drove to Myrtle Beach with my assistant. My right-hand man lives in Charleston. And then I drove to Myrtle Beach. I have a couple of good friends there, some big money guys, big gamblers. They love talking about things, and they're both getting in the Circa contest. And then I went up to Foxwoods I knew I had a lot of futures to bet and stuff that was on the board. I thought it was really good value. I just didn't think I was going to bet that much. I did it again. Here's the pile.
Oops, I did it again.
Here's the pile, as you could see, the pile of tickets. And literally...
That's all at DraftKings?
Yeah, just pick a ticket. Just pick any ticket.
As a matter of fact, I will, Bill.
Yeah, this is like a magic trick.
See what I got. By the way, if I ask Bill what he bet, he has no idea.
No, so you pick a ticket there. What'd you get?
You bet Dallas Turner to go under 7.75 sacks.
Right. Yes. Yeah, and not only that. By the way,
they have to do that because you get half sacks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I actually re-bet Dallas Turner a few times, too, in there. But, yeah, so they're and that's season-long sacks. Now, obviously, people understand, I'm sure, I would think, there's a built-in edge in betting unders on these season-long props. Injuries, different things. Now, sometimes it's baked in the line, but I still think the value – no, I actually know the value. Listen, sack props last year, think I went 7-1 on sack props last year at DraftKings. But I have to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, that was not a negligible amount of money either.
No. Yeah. This was close to six figures in bets. Yeah. They were very good to me again over there. And, you know, it's you know what I like? The team that works at the DraftKings, the guy that runs it and his guy and his people that are in there, they're just really good to me. And they make calls over to Vegas, and amazingly, I live in Vegas. I have to leave Vegas. But they make calls over to Vegas to say, hey, Bill Krakenberger's here, and he's betting these things. And amazingly, they don't move a lot of these things. So I give them 15 minutes. I talked to the guy. I said, give me a max bet.
Wait, they're calling the DraftKings
Vegas
office.
They're calling DraftKings here, okay. over here, the risk to tell them that I'm there. And I get 15 minutes to go back to the counter. Instead of going to the kiosk and circumventing limits, which I like to do, they gave me a good size bet, really good size. Matter of fact, it's probably four times what Atlantic City gives me. And then I go back to the counter again. If it didn't move, if I want to bet it again, I bet it again. And I bet a lot of things again. And some things they have opinions on. So even though I'm a winning sports bettor, some things they do have opinions on. And they kept some things, regular lines there. Then they didn't move some things. I was surprised. Like, I bet something like, I bet a look-ahead line week 10 in the NFL. I bet two of them. And literally, I got down like 5,000 each. I didn't plan to do that, but I'm sick. I just want to keep on doing it until you yell uncle. It's a sickness. Yeah. It really
How
is.
How much will it take till they move?
I really didn't want to bet that much on those two, but I did because they kept on disrespecting me by not moving. No.
I was going to say, they respected you so much, they moved nothing.
No, they moved nothing. Yeah. They moved nothing, so I bet.
Can I grab a couple more?
Oh, yeah. Grab anything you want. It's like a magic trick.
People are probably like, could you read more of these?
Yeah, no. Just grab a couple.
I'm going to grab a
what
bunch
What do you
here.
Got there?
Raiders regular season division wins under 2.5.
I want to tell you something.
Plus 105.
You picked one I wish you didn't pick.
Sorry about that.
No, give it out to the public. Go ahead.
Can we get more?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Bears regular season division wins under 2.5.
Yeah.
That's plus 155.
I like that one.
Plus 155 is the key.
I picked the good ones, didn't I?
Yeah.
Commanders under 2.5.
Sorry about that. I know.
Under 2.5 regular season division wins. How dare you? Minus 105.
Yeah, sorry.
And then the Steelers, we were just talking about this, under 2.5 division wins, even money. Yeah. By the way,
those division wins.
I didn't even know they had those markets up.
So I was going to say,
that's
great.
Couple of them, on a couple things, I would have bet much, much more. They did respect me and move on them after two times.
Bill's pulling him back now. He's like,
you can't touch no more. there's just some really good, some nice edges there to be had, I thought. And you know, it's funny because you guys know I actually do. I'm in the pick selling business. But I can't give that out to customers because it's only draft. You know, some people that sell picks,
right?
It really pisses me off. They say, oh, you can go under 2.5 wins at DraftKings only. Well, DraftKings, everyone doesn't have DraftKings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not fair.
No.
But that's what they do to pad their record. And it bothers me, but I will never do that.
Dr. Bob always had a rule. Has to be available at a minimum of three different sports books.
Yeah, no.
We try to be careful about that on long shots, too, because so much of the golf we end up is betting is here at Circa, where the odds are so much longer usually than most other shops around the country. So you got to make sure if you're recommending something at a certain price, right, are you going to recommend it at the same price that's more widely available?
By the way, can someone just please tell us, I'm sorry to be like distracted here, can someone please tell us what Donna Vekic is going through? Because she is like weeping in the now she's back on the court and she's just fighting through whatever she's crying about.
She's probably been threatened by the person that bet the 60-1 and wanted to bet the 60-1.
No, that's not it.
No, I'm only kidding. I'm joking.
6-5, by the way, on serve now. Vekic serving to stay in the match. Yeah.
That's funny. I don't know much about tennis, but when you serve, you have an edge, right?
Yeah, if you supposedly, right, unless your serve is horrific. But
right.
Yes, typically, women's tennis, you get broken much more than you do on the men's side. The men's best servers rarely get broken.
Right.
But on the ladies' tour, the serves are not nearly as dominant.
Rarely get broken.
Oh, the best men's servers?
Wow.
Oh, my God. You have some guys who are serve bots, for God's sakes.
Well, give me a name that I know.
Well, the most famous thing was, you remember John Isner, an American tennis player?
Absolutely not.
Okay, he played a match at Wimbledon that lasted 3 days because he and his opponent couldn't break each other's serve.
Wow. So that's how strong the serve is.
Oh, yeah. We're currently on tour. You have, like, Uber Orkots and Milos Raonic and this kid, Mepechi Perikard. Like, these guys' serves are, if they're on, right? Or Nick Kyrgios, for instance.
I know that name.
Yeah, Nick Kyrgios. Yeah. His serve, like he always says, he goes, it was always just a natural movement for me. If he's on with his serve, it's virtually impossible, especially on grass and hard courts. Clay's a little different.
Right.
But on these surfaces, it's almost impossible to return if they're on. Yet, the gods like Djokovic and Nadal and those guys figured out a way. They're the only exceptions, right? But, it's much harder on the men's tour for the greats.
Listen, I want to tell you another story. It involves the French Open 2025. I put a note down on my phone when the person told me.
Just a bit of ego.
So French Open is next year?
Yes, obviously.
2025, about a year from now?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's just ended.
Obviously, 2025. Yeah. Dumb question to myself. So listen, he goes into Caesars. He wants to bet this tournament. He didn't tell me the player he was going to bet, but he wants to bet Wimbledon. He wants to bet Wimbledon.
Yeah,
which is the day before Wimbledon.
Yeah,
and is Wimbledon that's the biggest tournament of the year, right?
It's one of the four slams. It's considered the most prestigious. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so he wants to bet Wimbledon, and goes to the counter and makes a bet, has his ticket on this person here, finds out it's the French Open.
Who was it?
I believe it's one of these people that are playing now that got deep. But anyway,
that's a different person than the one you mentioned before?
Different person. We'll talk about it in a second. I'll tell you the bottom line in a second.
More with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, right here at a Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on a Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book Prime Time. Yo, Gil, I think it would be a fitting tribute to your guest yesterday to refer to Cleveland's baseball team as the Jardians for the rest of this season. All right, we could do it that way too. Uncle Bush, we need a Jardians Lady and John Legesa segment where she sings John's analytics. He's got a little ex-fip with a story to tell. Jason, Ice Cold Gambler, he said, Gil, I'll trade you secret sushi spots. Mine is in San Diego. There's also a language barrier. I need the one in Vegas as I do split time there. Jason H11, probably not the popular opinion, but I hope the sushi place ask you not to give out the name. I know I can ride the Sigma Derby thing to death, but the sushi place is a staple of the show. Let's see.
I'm kind of with him on that one. Like, this is going to get way more fascinating if the sushi place tells you not to give out the name.
It will be fascinating. Jerry Bo Knows is not happy with me. He said, throwing in a WNBA team playing with the same passion as playing for your country in a tournament that's every 4 years, that's something. You're better than that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Jerry Bonos, whatever you say. Trip Tepper, I have bet the Raiders 18-1 to be last winless team at DK. Panthers being an opponent in week 3 is an obstacle, but is Minshew or O'Connell really scaring you away? Raiders had some spots they could win, though. So.
Yeah, I'm not much of a believer in that team, but.
Yeah. Kiss the Degenerate. Hey, Gil, if you announce the infamous sushi spot, what the heck are you guys going to talk about for 2 whole hours? Jokes aside, I'm very curious if the restaurant agrees to this, given their small scale. Trust the glove. I think Vekic is ill, like Sinner was. She has looked like she is shot, but so did Sinner.
Oh, I texted Zach Cohen. He said it's just emotions getting the best of her, and she's exhausted, apparently.
Yeah.
So he said the whole crowd is rooting for Paolini.
They are in a tiebreaker. The whole crowd is rooting for Paolini?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in a tiebreaker now. So this could go either way for Wimbledon's final appearance. NFL totals. I really enjoyed the Deanna Colon, a.k.a. OG Jardians Lady interview yesterday. Since we have to digest commercials watching live sports, we need more segments like this. Kudos. We got nothing but positive feedback on that yesterday. Everyone seemed to love her. But, I mean, that was her, though, right? Because she was so bubbly.
Oh,
if she were a different person, that might have gone the complete opposite direction.
Yeah, she was willing to answer your questions as best as she could.
As best as she could.
Like, yeah.
That last one, she had to sort of pick her words about how much she got paid. And she's like laughing, she said. And she left it at that.
What did she say? She's not making Brad Pitt money?
Yeah.
No, not like that one.
Bill Krakenberger joins us. Well, a couple things. One, before we get to continue that story you were telling, was it a hot dog controversy now?
Okay, so I'm going to do my best here. This started to come out yesterday, but there is a controversy over the amount of hot dogs that Nick Weary, I believe that's how you pronounce his name.
He's the guy
husband
who's engaged.
Of Mickey Sudo or, yeah. or engaged.
Yeah, Mickey Sudo's a
There is some controversy over the number of hot dogs he ate, and I guess there is video evidence of him moving a plate full to boost his score or something.
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the betting numbers, the totals were right around there. So Eddie Moneyline tweeted us in where he had a ticket under 47.5. I think this is his ticket, Eddie. Sorry. Where originally Weary was scored at 46.75, but apparently it just got moved five more, I believe.
Wait, but didn't he cash his ticket
yeah,
already?
Yeah, he had a paper ticket.
No, this looks like it is from an app.
Yeah. Oh, so
you know that's why I'll tell you right now. You got to go up to the window and cash your tickets right away. I'm just saying you got to, you know what I mean. And point, what do you have? 46.75.
Yeah, I don't know why the app would have held it up though.
You know what the problem with that event is though? Watching it live is that you're
it's disgusting.
It's disgusting. One, but then you're watching the scoreboard. The live scoreboard is happening, right? There's people right behind doing the tally.
Yes.
But you're watching on the TV. You're watching the scoreboard
it's never up to date.
The bottom left. And it's like someone's 42. Then you don't see it moving, right? All of a sudden it goes 44, 45, 46, right? So it's you don't really know what you're watching.
How long are we going to have the same problem in sports, Gil? Put a microchip in the hot dog, we'll know exactly how many have been consumed.
Eat the microchips.
So the guy ate 3/4 of a hot dog.
Kelly's in favor of not scoring it until, let's just say, things have moved along.
Right. Very good.
Post-voiding.
That's a lesson.
Best breakdown I can give of that. Read more about it.
It's a lesson to everyone to go cash your tickets right away after an event, though. This way nothing gets regraded or rescored or, you know, you get your money.
It's also a lesson in this is where having paper tickets is better than having an app,
Very good.
Yeah,
very good.
Than anything.
Paper tickets. But, you know.
You were saying, though.
The French Open thing.
Yes.
So I thought it was just not nice the way this went down. He bet the French Open 2025 instead of Wimbledon, which is going on now. I can't even believe the French Open is beyond the board in big letters in front of him. So, of course, he got confused. But it's his fault. It's not Caesar's fault. It's his fault he bet the wrong bet. But the part I don't like is he went back up to the counter to change the ticket, to cancel the ticket, and they wouldn't cancel it.
Oh,
and I thought that was really poor.
Come on.
Yeah, that's
it's a year from
Caesars
now.
Caesars just went downhill when it comes to the sports book. They're just looking to grab every dollar off every living human.
It's incredible. Yeah. Really, for an event next year, he wanted to bet Wimbledon. You couldn't just give him. It's so dumb.
Couldn't just give him his money back. Jesus. Now I talk about the good stuff and being a winning sports bettor and how, you know, sharp I am with things. The Fountain Blue. So a buddy of mine, of course we know who Randy is, says, oh, you got to go to the Fountain Blue. Give him a big play and give him a big first-time play, and you should generate a really good offer.
Comes
I go in there,
yeah.
Give him a big play. I give him a really big size play. I lose $4,000, by the way. Thanks, Randy. lose $4,000.
Shots fired.
And so I'm waiting for this offer to come. And now I realize why the Fountain Blue was just dead. They gave me $50 a week for 4 weeks. And I played for hours and hours. And by the way, they gave me $20 in food. You know,
I think I got the same thing. And I was in there like one time, and I guarantee you betting way less than Bill Krakenberger.
I can guarantee you that I was betting $50 a hand for hours.
Yes, so, way less than Bill Krakenberger.
So, you know, if that's generating that offer, maybe it's just a local. Some of the strip casinos don't give the locals what they give out-of-town people. But for that place, it's almost like a local place. It's down in the dead end of the strip. And, you know, this is the reason why one of the reasons why I think they will fail getting in customers, gambling customers. They may get the non-gaming revenue people coming in and wanting to stay in Fountain Blue.
So here's my question. And I honestly don't know the answer to this because you know this stuff better than me. Maybe it happens all the time. But the question is, has there ever been a new property here in Las Vegas, in your memory, that failed to understand that side of things as badly as they have?
You're right. They really do. They just think people are going to come in there because of the Fountain Blue name, because of Miami?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
It looks like a 1973 Miami airport.
Yes, it does. Yeah. I think it's a very interesting situation, Bill, because Like, I mean, I got those same comps after going in there one time. Same thing, and barely gambling. But the way I put it together right away was, well, anybody who's been in there, nobody's in the casino gambling. There is barely anybody. So the way I looked at it was, okay, this is smart of them. Give out some of the comps and free play and stuff to locals.
Right.
But if they're not scaling it up properly, then, yeah, that's a problem. Like, you're not going in there for that.
Now, I have a question. Hate to embarrass anybody on air, Kelly. I seen this tweet yesterday.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
You seen this
tweet? That's Kelly Bidlin, yeah.
Kelly's getting 4 2s with a 4. What, is the game you're playing double-double bonus or triple?
Double-double.
Let me see. Is it 9-6? It's 9-6, so it's not that terribly of a game. My question is, how much money is Veasan paying you? I mean, you're playing $10 a hand video poker. Do you know how fast money can go at $10 a hand video poker? I mean, but I might see you in a meeting. Hi, my name's Kelly.
Bill, would you, I'll retell the beginning of the show.
Oh.
This was, so I was playing, usually I'll play five a push is what I'm doing, okay?
Yep.
Now, I was at the M yesterday. I was down there for a bit. I was playing for a while. I was down, hit four aces on five a push, got up a few $100. I was like, all right, I'm out of here.
Send
time for me to go home, right? I forgot about one extra ticket I had in my pocket as I was walking out. It was like $110, I think. So I did the gambler's thing of, you know what, let me just pop this in a machine real quick. I'm going to bump it up to 10 a push,
and
we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Second hand, I hit a four of a kind. I think it was four tens. And then three hands later, I hit that. And you're just like, this is dumb.
And I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
I'm
very responsible to try to help my
co-guys. No, you are right. You can't. Yeah, no. That video poker can get out of control.
So the M gave me a great offer. They gave me $1,000 to walk in one day. The host gave me $1,000. And then finally, I ran lucky there, too. I was up. I have the text on my phone. I could show you the text. I won $33,000 after four trips. And they were giving me $400 every weekend to come in. And I was playing $6,250 a hand, playing a game with multiple. The variance is so much better. In other words, rather than playing a single one line, you're better off playing 10 lines. And the variance is much easier to stay afloat. And then they said, Bill, we can't give you any more free player comps.
Oh,
they didn't want to give me anyone. And they're basically saying, we don't want your business anymore. I'm playing a negative EV game. Overall, I'm supposed to lose, but bottom line is I won. They don't want me. Losersonly.com down at the M.
That move you pulled outside of the casino, that was how every one of our AC Atlantic City trips ended as a kid. Every one of them. Come back. More with Crackman, Bill Krakenberger, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What a match. Jasmine Paolini is headed to her second straight slam final. She beats Donna Vekic in the third set tiebreaker, 10-8. Wow. VSiN.com, don't forget to check it out. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. On the front page, Zach Cohen with his tennis plays. Tyler Shoemaker with his WNBA plays. Not to mention Adam Burke. Adam Burke's at it again, Kelly. The Great American Getaway 400 NASCAR. Betting odds and predictions from Adam Burke. Sweet Lou Finicaro, Gambaloo on UFC Fight Night. And a whole bunch more. All of it at VSiN.com. Something for everybody. Horse racing as well. Skill Alexander's Kelly Bidlin. It is Bill Krakenberger Unscripted at Bill Crackman with a K on Twitter. The name of the podcast is Wisecracks with John Orlando and Bill Krakenberger. And just got to ask you, because we were talking about Fountain Blue and them being new to town.
Yep.
Famously, for those of us who have been in Vegas for a long time or visited Vegas for many, many times, even before we lived here, the Mirage is closing next week.
Yes.
The Mirage, for those of us who grew up on the East Coast, I don't even know if you know this, but in a pre-MGM world, when they were separate properties, the Mirage was marketed to East Coasters. And so all of my buddies in D.C., not all, but many of them, when they would come to Vegas, they would stay at the Mirage That was their spot. And the Mirage now is going to become the new Hard Rock. The old Hard Rock is now Virgin, for those who are unfamiliar with Las Vegas. The Hard Rock is where Bill and I met so many years ago. That is now Virgin. That was one of these openings that was just depressing to me. But the Mirage is going away next week. They decided to close it earlier. It's going to be the Hard Rock. I don't know if they still have plans for that big giant guitar, which would be the most iconic thing in the middle of the strip. How would you characterize these last days of the Mirage? Are there opportunities or are there no opportunities?
Well, yesterday I put up a video about 17 hours ago. It's going to be my number two video of all time on Twitter. It's up to 2.4 million views right now, 1,100 likes. I just went in there about an hour and a half before these drawings. They're giving away these promotions. We talked about this about Tropicana, Riviera, having to give away the progressive money that's been built up on the machines. They have to give it away in the end.
Must give it away.
Must give it away. Must. By gaming law.
By law.
So
yeah.
The video's on now.
There
you
it
can
is.
See in the background. So I went in there about an hour and a half before. That's up in High Limit as you're looking up there. That's High Limit. Every machine taken, people behind them, they're doubled up. And people are just basically, you can see some machines are, there's stuff on the machines, they're holding them, and no one's playing because they're waiting for 3 p.m. to come around.
You just got to have your card in.
You got to have your
right?
card in, yeah. And you have to be playing like a minimal thing. So they're just waiting there. And here's the thing I don't like that they did. Now, people were saying, oh, you're just upset you didn't get a seat. No, that's not why I was upset. I have a lot of friends that are big players that were marketed across the country and said, hey, you have to come in. We're having these drawings. We're giving away all this money. You got to get in here. Well, it doesn't matter if you're a big player with a six-figure credit line or you're playing a five-cent slot machine. You have the same chance of winning the drawing. It's a hot seat drawing. They're calling a machine number, and if you're sitting at the machine with your card in and you are playing minimally, you have 5 minutes to run up to the cage and get your money. So my thing is they wouldn't be able to get a seat unless they sat 5 hours before, 10 in the morning. Like these hosts, they just don't care. They don't care. Listen, in general, a host tries to get you in the casino. They want to separate you from your money. I don't care what they say about, oh, we just want you to give us Theo because the more Theo, the better it is for our job. Listen, bottom line is if you're a winning gambler, like I talked about at the end, they're going to back you off, even if you're just getting lucky, running lucky on something. This is not talking about blackjack.
Even if you're just running lucky.
You're just running lucky. It's the same thing with the sports books. Sports books are the same exact thing. You run lucky on the app in something. And they have no idea
how to profile.
They don't know how to profile. Yeah. So, anyway, I just get upset when these hosts market people like this and call people in, and they can't even get a seat. They wouldn't even be able to get a seat. But my thing is, why not have it on based on play? Like if you're playing, put your card in, and based on, you know, electronic entries, fine. But the more tickets you get, of course, me, I want that because I can play video poker. I can play more. I've seen people playing $100 machines firing. I mean, it was New Year's Eve times five. Bottom line is Hard Rock's going to make all the money here because the money was built up prior to that when the Mirage owned it over the years, that all that progressive money that didn't hit. And now Hard Rock is literally making what they're giving away per day times five. They're making millions per day on this. I mean, you couldn't get a machine. Now, granted, all the machines aren't open, but I had a buddy of mine figure it out. It's pretty simple. You know, there's 500 machines and you divide them up. It's probably worth about $20 an hour. If you can even get a machine. But are you going to stand there, sit there 5-6 hours ahead of time just to go down there to make $20 an hour? Like Kelly said to me, is it worth it to go, Bill? I said, no, it's not worth it to go because I just don't think that even by the weekend it's going to get worse. But
yeah, I was planning on going on Friday when they're doing the table game.
Table game drawings are given. I think they're giving away 400,000 table games drawings, and you have to be sitting with your card. Now, Bill Krakenberger is very cynical. I would think that they would want to give their higher players that money rather than a randomness of an electronic drawing. I don't know. Can gaming even police that and say, oh, that you didn't give it to everyone? I don't know. Cause I know someone High Limit actually won one of the drawings for $50,000. So I just think that it would be, they would take care of their regulars and their High Limit players first, but they're not supposed to do that. But of course we know years ago at the Sands that happened, they were fined $1 million because they actually had a drawing where they picked a player, and it wasn't random, and they got in a lot of trouble, and it was exposed. So I just don't think – and by the way, everyone, so many people I know, like literally everyone I know in the gambling world text me, hey, Crack, do you need bodies? Do you need bodies? Are you going to go down there? And a lot of people tried to tell me about this after. I knew about something like this that was going to happen. I just had to find out what it was because the people in my I know a vice president there, and he just didn't know the details yet. But I love when I have like the neighbor. You know, my neighbor, big shot.
Bill, not sure if you know this.
Yeah. He says to me just on Tuesday when it started, he called me up in the morning, goes, hey, I got something for you. Like I was down there last Monday, 8 days ahead before. I got something for you. It's really big. He goes, you got to go down in Mirage with me. We can lock a machine. We can make some money. I said to him his name, and I said, listen, I checked this out a week ago. It's not really going to be worth a lot. You know what he told me? You don't know what you're talking about.
He said that to you.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, now, yeah. Literally, he owns a successful business, and you know, I said, well, if it was regarding your business, you would know it. And this is my business.
Yeah.
And he's like, he actually told me, I don't know what I'm talking about. That's what he told me. I just hung up on him. I said, no, you're right. Go down there. I gotta run.
I'll see you. I'll see you down there.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about.
Let me ask a non-gambling question because I've been thinking about this. When the Hard Rock closed, I had spent so much time just in my life in that building that I have a very difficult time going into it as a virgin because it's really like lipstick on a pig and all those memories come rushing back. Yep. And it's this really weird feeling. And like part of me can't believe that I spent so much of my life within those walls.
Right.
And so the Mirage, like my best memories of the Mirage, there were great shows, there were great R&B shows in the back. Carnegie Deli was a go-to for me.
Yeah,
I struggle with like how nostalgic I get with buildings in Las Vegas, like casinos. Do you get that at all? Like beyond the gambling?
It's so weird for me.
Like, I'm like, I don't feel this way about anything else.
And this place was the place. Steve Wynn built this place and had to make $1 million a day. And people said he's crazy. They don't have business. They made $3 million a day. You walk through that rotunda, the atrium, where it was the first casino really that had, you could see outside was coming in, all the full lights coming in. And this is beautiful video and pictures I have. My parents were there, and they're both gone now. So like my parents called me up and said, oh, my God, you got to see this place. They were there before me. You got to see this place, Billy. You know, like, I think of that.
Before the Tigers were there in the middle in that atrium, this is where the famous Jimmy Vaccaro story where Buster Douglas, after having upset Mike Tyson, trained in front of everybody, right in the middle of the Mirage.
Wow.
And that's where...
They did that right there?
Right there in the middle, and that's where... This is for the Evander Holyfield fight, which he got blasted in. This is where Jimmy noted, oh, my God, he's so overweight. Like, all he was eating was lemon meringue pies.
Wow.
From room service every
Unbelievable.
Night.
Unbelievable.
But he was right there in the middle of the Mirage. And I just... There's so many of these memories, and it's such a specifically Vegas thing where you do feel some kind of nostalgia for these. And ultimately, it's a building.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, like, you have so many memories.
I wonder if
they'll
have things like the Riviera had. They say, you come on in for 5 days, and we're having an auction. We're selling everything from our cups to our, you know, our glasses to, you know, ashtrays and everything. And, like, it'd be cool to have something, for, you know, with the Mirage on it and that famous logo. I never thought about it.
All the Tigers are gone from the back. The Dolphins are gone. There was, I mean, it was, imagine that they were there all those years.
Yeah, no.
These animals.
It's a weird, like, opposite feeling for me, too, because I didn't get to spend much time in the Mirage in its heyday, right, at all. And now maybe it's not what it once was, but it's being replaced by the Hard Rock. We're like, if it looks exactly like the Hard Rock does in South Florida, like, I've spent enough time in that damn building and lost enough money.
I hope it is like that, because the Hard Rocks in Florida now are unbelievable. So anyway, real quick, I really should have called my friend with the chisel to get something off the wall there before I left. I didn't think of it. You know, like, I'd steal stuff from the rooms. It would have been a good opportunity.
In the 90s, the Mirage was the shining star of the Strip, for sure. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up with the Crackman. Bill Krakenberger, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Bill Krakenberger. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Joe C714. Question, been staying at the Venetian for around 20 years. 8 years ago, averaged around $250 a hand on the tables 4 hours a day. Got comped very well. Haven't done that since,
and still get great comps. My question, is this loyalty or an internal error?
Wow. So,
good question, by the way.
You know, a bit of both?
I don't play there. I don't. Do you play there ever?
Rarely not, but it's a great place to stay. Great room.
Oh, it's like one of the top places.
Yeah. The Palazzo's rooms are the greatest rooms.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's four. He played the 4 hours a day, though.
$250 a hand, still getting comped 4 years later.
4 years later? Listen, just take advantage of it. Don't rock the boat. Don't tell anyone.
Don't tweet it into any shows for people to read on air.
Yeah.
Pat Montefort, Monteforte, just watched the Jardians lady interview from yesterday. She was amazing, kind, and inspires me to never follow another person's bet on Twitter. Great spot. I'm not sure what the two had to do with each other, but you should never blindly follow anybody's bets on Twitter. What were you saying, Kelly, off air?
Feels a lot better to win on your own
That's
bets.
That's right.
Yeah, come up with your own stuff then, pal.
And better to lose on your own, too, yeah. That's for sure. This is from Tom Collins. Says, Bill, thank you for sharing your information. I look forward to your visit every week.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
The Silent Mike D. Oh, regarding the Hard Rock. He says, I used to love Pink Taco, the only place that would comp me Patron shots while playing VP and eating carne asada. Bro, I used to go to Pink Taco every day. I would get the same order every day. It was spectacular at the old Hard Rock.
Yeah.
Michael Burns, loved the Mirage. Stayed, I think, 6 years in a row for AFC-NFC Championship weekend. I'm from St. Louis. Was there for the Rams-Bucks game. Gave my dad my season tickets to go to the game. I would walk across the street to bet props at IP.
The Imperial Palace.
That's right. And Frank Albright, this is a nice way to end these tweets on. He said, my buddy and I have been going to Vegas together for 20 years, and we always made multiple trips to the Mirage each trip. He has been diagnosed with cancer. We made a trip to Vegas a couple of weeks ago and went to the Mirage one last time and took some pics together.
Oh, cool.
Great memories there, and wanted to have some pics to help my memory in the years to come. Frank, that is a
my man.
That is a heartfelt tweet. We really appreciate you sharing that with us. And that is, I guess that's kind of what I was talking about before, which is these places mean things to people. And that's the most. I mean, you can't mean more than what Frank just wrote us. You know?
Yeah.
And so on the one hand, I don't know. You know, there's a sentimental streak about these spots, and that's the end of Mirage in a week.
Oh, yeah. Just like I said, like walking in my parents' footsteps and that person there and different things. It really is. It's going to be missed by many. There was, you know, the great Siegfried and Roy there for many years.
The great Siegfried and Roy.
Of course, we know the Love Show, like I talked about last week. And the many restaurants. Listen, I still don't understand how the Carnegie Deli closed. I don't get it. It was always so packed when I was in there, too.
So.
And it was good.
It was so good.
It was good.
Yeah, it was so good.
But, you know,
ball soup
people
was
have,
great.
People have, you know, differences and rent differences. And, you know, a lot of these places, they court these places, like Rao's when at Caesars. So Rao's at Caesars, they had, like, free rent for 10 years. So the rent, because it got people in, and people, what are they going to do? They're going to gamble.
Uh-huh.
So and it's the famous Rao's name. Lots of foot traffic. Famous meatballs. So then Carla's meatballs there, Frank Pellegrino's wife, so ex-wife. So what happens is, though, that their leases run out, and now they say, well, all right, now it's $100,000 a month. And they say, well, okay,
that's right.
See you later.
See
you. And they bring in, of course, the great Peter Lugers.
Yeah.
And I still think it's great there. Have you been back since we went?
I had a burger, and I didn't love it.
You didn't like the burger?
I didn't love it.
Wow. That was lunch, though, right? Or it could have been
lunch.
Dinner.
It was lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't love it. I'm trying to think with... You know, Jay Rude, my buddy, who was the old vice president of race and sports at MGM when they owned the Mirage, he has some unbelievable stories. One of his most famous stories from the Mirage is the night after the was it the ear biting night? I think it was the Tyson Holyfield ear biting night, where he ended up as a ticket writer.
Wow.
Underneath the desk.
Unbelievable.
With a stampede.
It got bad at the Mirage.
Yeah, like it just...
They were turning tables over, people walking out of restaurant, people were going crazy.
The Jimmy Vaccaro story at the Mirage was, you know, Buster Douglas having these lemon meringue pies every night, training, just eating everything in sight after he upset Mike Tyson, one of the greatest upsets in boxing and sports history in 1990, and they had this fight coming up against Holyfield. That's inspired the documentary, right? That was a different one. But he had to run. He has a story where he had to, like, run to the sports book.
Right.
to lower the odds on Holyfield because of this.
Yeah.
And he said he got there in time, except one guy got through. At the good number.
You know, you just reminded me of a great story for how that happened in the sports book. This has probably not been talked about.
At the Mirage.
Yeah, it happened there. They had the pool championship was there, you know, playing pool players. And, like, you know, the different places, like Alan Hopkins and you know, famous pool players, Johnny
Minnesota
Archer, Steve Mizorak, all the big
Steve
players.
Mizorak.
Yes.
Even when you're just showing off.
That's Miller? No, Miller was
Light.
It Miller?
Light beer Miller. For Miller.
Yeah, I knew Steve. It's funny. I knew Steve, and Steve's dad had a pool hall in Perth Amboy, New Jersey. Steve was a school teacher first before he became a pro pool player. So they had this big tournament there, you know, $50,000 first prize, really big for pool players. And so they decided to put odds up on the sports book on the tournament. And I guess you know where I'm going with this.
Yes, I do.
So, you know, pool players.
What could this possibly be?
Pool players are not the most,
kosher. It's like moving a plate of hot dogs.
So they had all these odds up in the sports book, and they say, wow, Spanish Mike LeBron at 50-1. Spanish Mike was the longest shot on the board. And people, pro pool players, are, you know, people in the pool playing world, they'll know who that is. Spanish Mike probably being the oldest of the tournament members that day that were in that tournament. And the younger guys like Johnny Archer and you know all these guys. There were some great – Earl Strickland. I mean, there was great guys. Mike Siegel. I was there. So all these guys, they're all the big favorites. And they say, well, I think this is an opportunity.
Collusion.
Let's go up there and bet. Send some beards up there to bet this 50-1 shot. So like 50-1 goes to 40-1 goes to 30 goes to 20, and it just keeps getting bet.
Yeah.
And they're like, something must be going on here. They finally took it off the board, and of course, and it's unbelievable what happened. Spanish Mike LeBron had the tournament of his life. Yeah, and won the tournament, and they lost a healthy six figures. It's just unbelievable.
What year was this?
I think it was like maybe 99 or something.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I have never heard that story.
Oh, yeah. That's the old Mirage pool players. You know, pool players. They're you know, they don't make a lot in their sport, though.
Yeah.
It's a really an underwhelming thing. It's a shame. You're that talented. It's like bowling, but it's below bowling, by the way. They just don't make any money, so they have some, you know, they got to earn a little bit.
When it's one of those sports where, like, gambling goes hand in hand with it.
Sure.
So, yeah, like, there's no surprise to hear things like that.
Even when you're just showing off. You were searching for the word, but pool players are not.
I was trying to be nice.
How
but
can I put
it's
this?
Hard to be nice.
My dad used to have an expression. He would say, not quite as Catholic as the Pope.
Right.
Catholic, he would say. Catholic.
Right. No, it's just something I remembered. And I wasn't planning to even talk about it. It's just something I remembered based on you talking about different odds and things in the sports books. You know, I want to say something, too. I'm flying back. I flew back from Hartford, Connecticut. I was in Connecticut, flew back from Hartford to here on that Breeze Airlines. Love that airline, by the way. Give them a shout out.
Once again, Breeze goes where now?
Breeze goes nonstop from Vegas. I went to Fort Myers nonstop.
God.
I went to Hartford nonstop. They nailed me this time a little bit, though. I've had $250 to $350 normally for first class one way, which is great.
Yeah.
They have regular first class, too. So this time I paid $487 I paid, but it was well worth it. Big front seats, you know, it's first class, and I want to just say no. So I get off the plane and I'm listening to, I don't really listen to too much news, but I'm watching like one of the screens as I'm waiting for my bag, and I'm seeing about credit card debt's on an all time high. I didn't even know that. Did you know that? I didn't know this.
Oh, it's
so credit card debt all time
always
high,
is,
crushing any previous records, and I'm thinking to myself, you know. In Vegas, it just doesn't feel like it's that. Like, Vegas is packed. Everyone's smiling, laughing. They're on vacation.
Yeah.
And the money. I don't think it's reflective. I think we're like, we're almost like fake news out here. Vegas, Miami, New York, L.A. I don't think you can go by their economies to go by that.
Yeah.
I think people are really hurting out there. I think that when
they rack up there.
When the COVID hit, people saying I'm not going out like that. Four walls closing in on them. I am spending all my money I can get. I'm having fun. I'm not gonna. It was a very depressing time. And I think what you just said, that was going to be my final point, Kelly. I think they're spending it out here. I really do. I think the credit card debt and people, you know, if you look at the, every time I see people going to the ATM, you know, just that's what the gamblers are made up of when they run out of money. But anyway, I just thought that was pretty interesting. And
it's interesting because it's also a microcosm of our nation's sort of viewpoint on national debt as well, right? We don't seem to understand what that really means either.
Are you off next week?
I am.
Okay. I'll see you when I see you.
Okay. See you when I see you. When I see you. It's Bill Krakenberger, everybody, at Bill Krakman with the K. We'll be back tomorrow, Kelly and I. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next on the radio side. Best bets coming on the pictures. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.